Welcome back as we return to November 7th, 1995. Ed LeClaire is producing. Tom Stanton, co-author of Rocket Man, the Encyclopedia of Elton John, is our guest. Details and biographical info abound. And all of it made even more interesting because of these excellent calls from Dale, who before she asks the author a question, reminds Norm of her previous call to him, Andrew from Lynn, Dave and Dedham, and Nate from Medway. Saturday night may be all right for fighting, but it's much better to listen to the Vault of Silliness.
Manchin is the co-author of a book called Rocket Man, the Encyclopedia of Elton John. I'm glad to have you with us. Thank you very much for coming on board with us, Tom.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Norm. Okay, look forward to talking with you.
I look forward to it, too, because I thoroughly enjoyed the encyclopedia you have, the Encyclopedia of Elton John, which is divided into various sections. The first is in alphabetical order, all the people he's come in contact with, or people at least that have been important in Elton John's life, and records and situations, all that kind of stuff. And then a whole listing of his albums and his singles. And if you want to know anything about Elton John, I tell you, you did a tremendous amount of research. You have been, you were the publisher of the Elton John fan magazine, East End Lights, and all of that. And you host, I'm telling you these things like you don't even know this, you know, but I know you host the International Elton Expo. But you're also a newspaper publisher. Having published a weekly newspaper myself and gone totally broke about several years ago, I really respect you a lot. You have a series of five weekly newspapers in the Detroit area?
That's correct. And the Elton John stuff is more of a hobby for me. It's not very lucrative, but the newspapers allow me to do it, so...
Do they? Because anybody who can make a buck out of a weekly newspaper, I really respect them. Have you had these newspapers long?
No, we started the first of the five in 1982, so we're 12, 13 years now.
Oh, that's pretty good. Now, did you start up all of these five, or did you buy some of them that were in, none of them were in existence before you?
That's correct, yeah. We founded all of them, and they've grown very nicely, fortunately.
Size papers?
That's correct, yes. They're community weeklies. We cover the local news in the towns we cover.
And they come out on Thursday?
That's
no?
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm spending too much time on the weekly when we should be talking about Elton John, but it was a long time ago when my wife and I had this weekly that was fun. It was kind of fun to a point. It's too bad money had to be involved and losses. Otherwise, it would have been great. Anyway, what about this Elton John thing that you have going? I don't mean just about the fan magazine, but how'd you get so interested in Elton John that he's almost in the forefront of your life now, it would seem?
Yeah, it would appear that way, certainly. This sort of growing, this project. It started with magazines. And I started that because I wasn't getting enough information about his career from the normal sources, the music magazines and papers. And so we decided, why not start a magazine just about Elton John? And to our surprise, we discovered there are other similar magazines, not about Elton, but about the Beatles and Barbra Streisand and other very successful stars. And so we started the magazine, and it's just grown from there. We did the first convention last year, And with all this information we were coming upon for the magazine, we decided to put it into a book and just sort of share this knowledge. And what we have is the most exhaustive book ever on the musical side of his career. We do touch on his personal life and those interesting stories, but it pretty much focuses on the music.
I think by looking at it, you not only you do get a pretty good picture of the kind of person he is. His musical tastes, as you point out in the book, are really tremendously varied. He's interested in jazz and in rock and on the classical music and all kinds of things. He's been with a backup musician on other musicians' sessions, even though he's a huge name in himself. He seems like a tremendously unusual kind of man. How would you... this is a ridiculous question, though, but I'd be interested in your answer on how you could sum up his personality and tie in all the things that he's interested in. Doesn't seem to me many musicians have this wide a scope on life as he does.
Yeah, well, I think much of it traces to his childhood. He was an only child and a pretty lonely kid. and his father was a musician with a jazz group, and he was classically trained at the Royal Academy of Music in London. And so you can see different influences coming in here, and he really turned on to the pop and the rock in the late 50s, and when he was a young teen. And you can trace all these different strains into his current music. As a musician, he has remained in the forefront because he is a very competitive personality. He wants to be current, and he wants to be on the charts, and he's done it longer than anybody else. He's had top 40 hits in 26 years now, consecutive.
Well, you mentioned that was that's some kind of a record then.
That is, yes. Elvis's string broke when he passed away, but nobody else comes close to what Elton has done in those terms. I mean, it's every year since 1970 this man's put a popular song on the charts, which is it's an amazing feat.
And he's worked, he does the music, and for the most part, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce Bernie, is it Taupin?
You've got it, that's right.
Okay, Bernie Taupin is the guy who's the lyricist, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And Elton John does not write the words. Has he written the words to anything?
Oh, he has written the words to a couple songs, and it's better that he doesn't write the words.
okay, so melody, he's the Richard Rodgers to Taupin's Lawrence Hart or whatever.
There we go.
Something like that. And turning out just absolutely tons of stuff, and it seems to me there's hardly a vocalist who hasn't done an Elton John written song.
Yeah, there are a lot of them who have covered his work. I mean, just a wide variety. Some of them as instrumentalists, like James Galway, has done some of Elton's work.
Yeah, the great flute player.
You're correct.
Yeah, you mentioned a song that he wrote for Frank Sinatra called "Remember, I'm Still in Love with You." The titles, incidentally, the titles of the songs that he's written are just lovely. I would guess it must be Bernie Taupin who picks out the title since he writes the words, but I'm not sure that that's so.
I think there's some. Generally, Bernie does, but yeah, I think there's some give and take there as well. And certainly Elton has been known to suggest a song or two, and Bernie has been known to do them. That's a pretty obscure song, too, but that's the type of information we have in this book, stuff that even some of his more devoted fans may not be aware of.
Yeah, you mentioned this was written in 1977 for Sinatra, but it's apparently Sinatra recorded it. Anybody, but it was never released.
That's right. Yeah, it was one of a series of sessions that Frank Sinatra did that just never materialized into an album, and so it just sort of ended up in the cans, not being used. And designer Gianni Versace's sister ended up recording it in Europe, but it is a pretty obscure song.
He's been a backup singer, backup pianist, or you know, on other people's sessions, where he has not, you know, played the key role in that sense or gotten the key publicity. It seems to me you got to have a special kind of personality to be a musical giant like this and be willing to take second place for the sake of music or something. He seems to have done this quite a lot.
Yeah, it started out interestingly, Norm. It's before he became Elton John, before he became famous, he was known as Reg Dwight, which was his birth name, and he was a struggling musician in England, a singer-songwriter, and trying to make a living by doing sessions, backing up other musicians. And so, consequently, he played on Tom Jones' Delilah hit, singing backup on that, and He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother by the Hollies. This was before he was well-known. And then once he became famous, he continued to play on albums by George Harrison and Rod Stewart and Bob Dylan and Aretha Franklin and just a long list of stars. I think he likes being part of it, being in the center of what's happening, whatever it's happening. And so he's had a far-reaching impact that way, and he's influenced many of the younger musicians who are popular today as well.
Now, he's called a rocket man, and I know that you have a section, too, there where you talk about his feeling about Roger Clemens, the Red Sox great pitcher,
right,
and all that. And of course, Roger Clemens is known as the Rocket Man. But that isn't where the Rocket Man came from, isn't it? He was already a Rocket Man before he met Roger Clemens.
Yeah, long before, and it evolved from a song title of one of his big hits in the early '70s. And the song is called Rocket Man, and so the name stuck a bit. He's had many nicknames over time, and in fact, I think it was in '93 when Elton was in Boston at the Garden. Performing, and he had met Roger Clemens prior to that concert, and came out on stage and put on a Boston Red Sox jersey. And I would be quick to add that he's actually a big Atlanta Braves fan, which is he lives part time in Atlanta. But
he's just part time in Atlanta because does he still live in England also?
Yeah, about half the year in each place.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice to be able to do that? Because you're stuck with a whole bunch of newspapers, so you got to stay in the Detroit area.
You know this too well, I can tell.
I know very well. Yeah. You never make enough out of those kind of things to have a 6 months a year home on the Riviera or anything of that nature. I thought what we would do, let's take a break for a few commercials. This is okay with you, Tom.
Sure.
And then there'll be people who'd like to talk with you.
Magazine.
No, it sounds really good. It sounds really good. Is East End Lights, is that tied in with London where he's from?
Yes, indirectly. The phrase East End Lights comes from one of my favorite songs by him.
Okay. I'm sorry, you can tell by the way I'm talking that I don't know as much about Elton John as I should know, but I got a good education reading your book this past few days, and I've always enjoyed him because I think he's an interesting guy. I still think of him with the funny glasses and the costumes and all that kind of stuff. He's sort of gotten beyond that, I think, though, has he?
Yes, he has, but he'll always have a place in people's memory in that respect, though. He'll be forever thought of in that way, with the outrageous clothing and the wild stage antics. And,
yeah.
His form of subdued, though, is still more wild than most of ours. So.
Yes, some of the facts you have in the book are really fascinating. For example, the fact he was going bald, or has gone pretty fairly bald, and was wearing these outrageous and funny hats and all of, and then some not so outrageous hats and all of that, and then had a hair weave. Was that you said it was cost $25,000 for this weave?
In that range, yeah. He has the money to afford it, I guess. I'm not sure how much better a $25,000 hair weave is going to be from a $5,000 one.
or a $500 one, maybe you could do. Well, I can suggest somebody to him. But in any event, he's also apparently a very generous man,
yes,
in that he is given. Well, he has tons of automobiles, all kinds of Jaguars and all of that, and Mercedes. And he's given away cars like that as well as other things to friends?
Yeah, he's extremely generous with people who are involved in his career and friends. And he is a very wealthy man, but he shares that wealth. And now in his career, a great deal of the money he makes goes towards his AIDS Foundation, which is
what he's
devoted himself to now.
Now, you mentioned that a lot of the singles and stuff, whatever he gets from singles, and certain records and stuff, all goes to AIDS. He's given them millions. Is that right? Millions through the years?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Okay. We'll take calls in just a minute. We're talking with Tom Stanton. The book is called Rocket Man, the Encyclopedia of Elton John, published in your newspapers. You wouldn't have any room for news. That's all. Just all. Anyway, let's take some phone calls. 254-1030, area code 617. This fella says he is a big Elton John fan. This is a male or female?
I'm a female.
Oh, you're a female.
I'm not a fella.
Your name is Dale, which is kind of could be either gender.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say this. Anyway, you sound like a lovely lady.
I am a lovely woman.
A lovely woman, okay.
I'm a nut.
Well, why else would you be calling this program if you were not?
Hey, Norm, I called you before. I had my cat stuck in the wall. It was a while ago. I don't know if you remember or not.
I do remember. The cat is no longer stuck in the wall?
Nope, he's now 15 pounds.
He weighs 15 pounds?
And his name is Nathaniel.
Did you name him after... No, you couldn't have.
What?
Okay.
Name him after you?
I'm sorry. I was being presumptuous.
No, you're not, because I was thinking on those lines, and I'm like, no, I don't know if it can just be Nathan. I said, well, what about Nathaniel? And he looked at me and said, okay.
Yeah, I was thinking if I had a son, I could name him Nathaniel, and his name would be Nathaniel Nathan. But meanwhile, Tom Stanton's wondering, since you said you're a big Elton fan, what you would like to talk with Tom about.
Well, first of all, I am beside myself over here, and I'm going to make a fool out of myself, and I don't care. But does he have 13 poodles?
I don't think so. He does have pet dogs.
Okay, I thought he had 13.
He may have at some point.
Yeah.
In his life.
And I love him even more for that. I've loved him since I've been about 6, and I still have my Yellow Brick Road album.
Really?
And I just saw him for the first time this year, and I'm going to get a little sappy. when I saw him perform, I not only appreciated him in the now, but I also thought about all the stuff he's been through. And what it must have been like for him to sing those old songs, knowing that he's come so far.
Yeah, for listeners who may not be aware, Elton is a true survivor, having overcome multiple addictions. And,
yeah.
And that is reflected in his concerts, you're right.
And
you
it
go
is.
There and you get a sense of that, don't you?
Yes, I do, very much so. And you know, I said to my friend next to me, I said, can you believe he is just clean and sober? And I've been through a lot of the same stuff he's been through. And, you know, I've been clean for about a year, and to go there and be straight and to see him straight just made me feel so good. And someone turned around and said, how do you know he's not high? And I said, this is what this is all about.
Yeah.
And it's like, obviously, I felt like half of those people, I know I'm sounding pretentious, but I just felt like half of those people shouldn't have been there because they didn't get it. They didn't get what he was about. And I could really appreciate where he was coming.
Where did you see him?
I saw him at Great Woods. And he played for about 2 hours, and he was absolutely, he just kept going and going. He did everything from, everything from Pinball Wizard to his newest album, songs off of his newest album. He opened up with I'm Still Standing, and I thought that was just so perfect. That was so perfect.
Was he here with Billy Joel?
Yeah, he was. I didn't see that, though.
That was within the past couple of years, too, wasn't it? Or even more recent than that?
Yeah, he's done that tour on and off a bit, and that was extremely successful.
Tom, do you know his real middle name?
Sure do.
Kenneth? Is it Reginald Kenneth Dwight?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's his birth name.
Mm-hmm.
He actually legally changed his name to Elton, and this would be your question.
Okay.
Do you know his middle name, current middle name, that he changed to?
I don't.
Okay, well. I'll give you a different one. I want everybody to leave the show a winner, so...
I have to have something.
That'll be no problem. He changed his name to Elton Hercules John.
That's right.
Back in the early 70s.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
You know, I had a beautiful poster from him from 1973. My aunt went to a concert, and I don't have it anymore, but I got the newer one from the previous concert, and I wish I had my old one so I could put it side by side. And in the old one, he has his eyes closed. And in the new one, they're open and they're bright and they're beautiful. And I wish I had to put them side by side.
You can see the change, can't you?
Yeah. Oh, I can appreciate it.
And you know, I was going to ask, I know you know Tom, and I wondered if Dale knows. She's already won. Is that correct? Okay.
We're going to give you a question you can answer.
Okay. I wondered, because this is just a question before you give the question that will win. Elton John... How he got his names, I think, is kind of interesting because he, you know, from Reg Dwight to Elton John. Because I would think Reg Dwight, it sounds like a pretty decent name to me. A lot of people would change it to that, but that was his name, and he changed it to Elton John. And the reason was he named it after a couple of other musicians. Did he feel uncomfortable with the name Reg Dwight? Did he feel that wasn't?
Yeah, it was his way to escape a somewhat unhappy childhood, and he felt the name made him sound like a librarian or a clerk at a store, and he was looking for something more exciting. He didn't want to be Reggie Dwight, and so he was in a band called Bluesology before he became well-known. He borrowed the names of the saxophone player Elton Dean and the leader of the group, Long John Baldry, and he just sort of combined those and threw in Hercules for good measure.
And it's given him good measure because I think he deserves that middle name for what he's been through.
That's right. I guess because we've been sort of hinting at what he's been through. He was an alcoholic, wasn't he, and also a druggie?
Yeah, cocaine addict, an alcoholic, bulimic, just tremendous weight problem, just a whole slew of problems.
He said he couldn't face people or carry on a conversation less.
Actually, you know what? I do. I would love him. This is my dream. And here I go. I'm going to be a nut, and I don't care. My dream is like for him to come over and me make him a wonderful dinner and meet my five cats and just sit here and play cards and just enjoy him and just tell him how much he means to me. I mean, I love this man.
Boy, you really do, Gail.
I do.
My
you don't
God.
Understand. I have been with him since childhood, and he has, like, pulled me through so... I mean,
are you about the same age as Elton John?
No, I'm 32.
Okay, he's what, 48 now?
Yeah, he's about
okay.
that.
Yeah.
And the poster I had of him, he was about 27 in it, and his eyes were closed, and he just had this look on him like, "Don't bother me." And the beautiful poster I have of him now, he just shines. He reeks of his fame and who he is, and he just glows.
Yeah, glows is a better word than reeks.
I can't say reek. That's bad.
Reeks,
I'm just over here acting like a nut.
Okay.
Sounds to me like Dale won a subscription.
Yeah, we're going to turn, Dale, we'll turn you over to Ed LeClaire, and we'll take your name and address
no,
again.
No, I have one more question.
Yes.
Tom, does Elton know that you wrote this book?
I think he does by now, yes.
Have you ever met him?
Yes, I've met him a few times, but not in relation to the book, in relationship with the magazine.
Yeah, is he like this wonderful human being?
He's a very warm person, yes.
All right. Okay, thanks, Norm.
Well, thank you.
Okay, here's Ed. I'm sorry to do this to you right now, Ed. Tom, rather, let's just take a little break for some more commercials. I hate to say we're jammed up in it, but maybe that's nice, too. And then we'll take some more calls. 254-1030. Area code 617. If you'd like to talk to Tom and to try one of the Elton John trivia questions and get a chance to win a subscription to this plush, but no, not overly ostentatious, Elton John fan magazine, by all means, give us a call. Also in Lynn. Hi, Andrew.
How you doing, Norm?
Pretty good, thanks. You're on the air with Tom Stanton, big guy.
Yeah, I'm calling up for the trivia.
Okay.
Well, how big of a fan are you, Andrew?
Not big at all.
Okay, we'll try an easy one.
Okay.
He's had tremendous success recently as a result of writing the songs and performing a few for the movie, favorite children's movie by Disney. Do you know the name of it?
The Lion King.
You've got it. I thought that might even be too easy, Andrew, but...
Yeah. It kind of was.
Yeah, you know I'm sorry, my mind wandered there for a second. Did you mention the name of the song itself?
He's had a couple hits off it, but one huge hit.
The one that won the Academy Award, did it not? For the song itself, or maybe not?
No, you got that right, I believe. And that was, do you know it, Andrew?
It was Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Very good.
I think that's a beautiful song. I love The Lion King. I thought that was a lovely movie.
Yeah, it certainly will make him that much more famous eternally, I think. Disney movies tend to stick around forever, so I think
that's true, but it seems to me that's kind of typical of him, of Elton John. He just has been involved in so many different areas, you know, that he's such an incredible superstar. Anyway, Andrew, hang in there, and Ed will take your name and address, and we'll get that out to you.
Okay, thanks, Norm.
Thanks a lot for calling. Okay, let's go to Dave, who is in Dedham. Dave, how you doing?
Hi, Norm.
Hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well, Dave. How are you?
Oh, good. I'd like to go for the trivia question.
Okay. Well, give me a sense of how big of a fan you are.
Let me see. Pretty big fan. I have, most of Elton John's albums, but like the Beatles, I like Elton John.
Okay. Well, Elton was recorded on... on solo albums by two different Beatles. Can you name one of those Beatles?
Let me see. Ringo Starr?
Yes. That one will do you.
Okay.
He even wrote a song for Ringo, which Ringo had recorded in the mid-70s. And he also has appeared on John Lennon's recordings.
Oh, John Lennon as well?
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you were mentioning that he is the godfather to John Lennon's son, Sean.
That's right. You know, something else occurred to me as we're talking. I don't want somebody to call up and correct me. He also appeared on George Harrison's recording. So he's been on everybody's other than McCartney, I guess.
No, I know. Just looking at a discography of him, he's made every record in the entire world. And nobody else needed to ever record, ever. You know, just you could live forever just on his stuff. Hey, Dave, here comes Ed. We'll take your name and address, too. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have Nate, who is down in the town of Medway, south of Boston. How you doing, Nate?
Good. How are you doing?
Is that short for Nathan or Nathaniel or something glamorous like that?
Yeah, it's short for Nathan.
Nathan. It's a great name, and you wear it proudly.
Yep, I do.
Okay. All right, here's Tom Stanton.
Well, Nate, have you been listening to Elton for a while?
I've been listening to Elton since about 19... I remember the first concert was in Chicago Stadium in 1974. When he was with the big costumes and the glasses and all that sort of thing. And I had a question for you.
Sure.
On the Rocket Man book.
Yes.
Now, I already have a subscription to East End Life.
Oh, okay.
And I have been looking for the book and haven't really been able to find it anywhere yet.
It's just a lot of the publicity came out before the book did, you guys at the radio station have a copy of it before I do. It just came out literally. It will be available through the magazine as well.
Because I did have one of the bookstores around here order it for me, and they said that it wouldn't be in for about maybe 6 weeks or so.
As a matter of fact, I saw some... I'm shaking up paper in your head, but it seemed to me the release date... Was sometime this fall, right? Oh, it says the book will be published at the end of October.
Right, right.
But, got bumped.
Yeah, so I think the release date that I saw someplace else was more well into November, the end of November, sometime around. I'm sure they'll try to get it out by Christmas. But it is very early, and I feel very privileged that I have a copy already.
Tom, did you see Elton, I think it was last Saturday night on that... Planet Hollywood special.
You know, I've missed that, but other people have been telling me about it. Did you enjoy it?
It was okay. It was. He did. Let's see. What did he do? He did Saturday Night and Made in England. So, anything that if he's ever on TV, I mean, I definitely watch it.
Let me give you a current question.
Okay.
Can you give me the? I'm sure you can give me the name of his current album.
Right, Made in England.
And can you name, there are three singles off of that album. Can you name two of them?
Believe and Made in England.
Oh, absolutely. This guy will get a free renewal on his subscription.
Okay.
he knew more than he really even had to know.
That's right.
Okay. No, your magazine has been like a godsend. I didn't even think there was anything out like that. And then in the program for the Billy Joel Elton John tour, I found out about it, so...
We were fortunate to get a mention in that program, and that's how many people have found us.
Yeah, no, it's been really great, and I look forward to it very much every 3 months.
Well, thanks for those kind words.
I really enjoy it. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, you hang in there, Nate, and you'll talk with Ed also, Ed LeClaire. And congratulations on your win there also. Now, the East End Lights... has been out how long now, and how often does it come out?
It comes out four times a year, and it's been around since 1990, which is relatively new compared to Elton's career, but it's we have about 1,400 subscribers worldwide, and you have to be a pretty dedicated fan to be interested in a magazine solely about one person, but we seem to have found a lot of those fans. We haven't talked yet about how significant Boston's been.
Yes, now I noticed it did pop up in the book a lot. Let's talk about that. That's a good point.
I'm not sure if the venue has the same name, but Elton started his first tour. He opened it in Boston at a place called the Boston Tea Party.
Yes, now that is right. Was right next to Fenway Park on, I think, Lansdowne Street, which is still kind of a hot spot for young entertainers and young fans of young entertainers. But the Boston Tea Party does not exist under that name. There is another club in that same spot and several nearby.
Okay, and he had That was the beginning of his first American tour. He had performed in America prior to that, but then he became suddenly successful, and they quickly put together a tour. And he was introduced every night at those the series of concerts at the Boston Tea Party as Elton Jones.
Yeah, I noticed that in your book.
Yeah, and it launched him. He was on his way after those performances.
Because you mentioned him also again in relation to Roger Clemson. Clemens, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Imagine Boston Broadcaster getting his name.
You'll be in trouble. I'm on that one.
And also, we mentioned the fact that he was here recently with Billy Joel, and he'd done a number of concerts here. Is his performing career still as strenuous as it always has seemed to be?
He's a workaholic, and he's very energetic on stage, and he keeps extremely busy. The man is sort of nonstop. He took a break when he was recovering from his various addictions, and he's taken a year or two off, and you know, somewhere in this 26-year stretch. But he's worked more continually probably than just about any other top 40 artist.
You also mentioned in your book that there were several times when on stage he would say to the audience, "This is four or five times, I'm quitting. I mean, this is was towards to that effect. This is my last performance." And all that kind of thing.
And I think he would blame that on his various addictions.
But he has not done that. Then he's not been. He's cleared up the addictions pretty much over the past year or something.
Yeah, since about 1990-91. In that period, he's turned his life around. He was probably going to be dead within a few years if he hadn't.
Mm. Just this one thing. This is probably not relevant. But people who appreciate Elton John. I think wondering over the fact that he was married for about 3 or 4 years at one point, obviously to a woman. Although he's, I don't know, he's gay. Is he gay or bisexual? I couldn't quite get the drift of that. And again, I probably shouldn't even bring it up. It's not really terribly relevant.
Well, he's made it a central point of his career, and you know some of the confusion can be attributed to him. In 76, he came out announcing that he was bisexual, and now he says that was just sort of an easier way of halfway admitting that he's truly gay. He got married. There was no need for him to do that as a cover-up of any sorts. He claims that he was just, you know, his life was terribly mixed up at that time, and he thought maybe marriage could sort of straighten him out, not necessarily in the sexual sense, but just sort of get him on an even keel and off the drugs and drinking, and of course that didn't happen. That's the right reason to get married.
He seemed to indicate that he would like to become a father. He would have liked children, and then, would that have been why he one of the reasons?
That might have been one as well. You know, he's not elaborated too much on it because I think he genuinely feels badly that he hurt this woman who did care for him.
Yeah, he seems to be very apologetic about a lot of situations. He had one situation you mentioned with Sam Kinison, the comic, where he called. I don't have this right.
Yeah.
I called him
a fat pig.
I believe those are the words I was groping for. Yes. Yes. And it says, Elton stunned the Kinison and organizers of the Rock Music Awards. In 1990, speaking, and I'm reading your words back to you, speaking in a live broadcast, Elton applauded friend Eric Clapton for winning a major award, but lamented that Clapton had to share the stage with host Kinison, whom he described as a pig, and which is pretty strong stuff. Anyway.
He was not yet recovering from his addictions at that point.
Well, he might have been very right with that. Anyway, addictions are not. I mean, a lot of people have described Kinison pretty much in the same way. Anyway, the book is interesting, and the people you talk about is either working with Elton John on records or just being friends of his and all that kind of stuff. It's fascinating. It's a whole, there's hardly anybody who's left out, and I'm basically a jazz fan, so this was kind of alien territory almost for me, but I found it intriguing. I liked the book a whole lot, and I learned quite a good deal from it, and I thank you for that, and I thank you for coming on and talking about it, Tom.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it very much.
Good luck, and I hope it comes out in the stand soon, because I think a lot of people are going to be looking for it in their bookstore.
All right.
Okay, talk to you soon. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Well, that concludes another broadcast day. I do hope you come back again. And I do hope you like, subscribe, and share. As well as tune in on the other platforms, if you so choose. Closing the vault and riding the radio waves home. For Tom Stanton, Ed LeClaire, and the Uncle Norm person, I'm Tony Nesbitt.